it. Let's review Parak Mishlei Parak Yitches. Let's review the pasuk again. Pasuk Chafalef. Let's review pasuk Chafalef. Moves v'chayim biyad l'shoyin v'yahavera yochal period. Let's review this pasuk a few more short midrashim.
Which pasuk?
Parak Yitches. Parak Yitches. Pasuk Chafalef. Pasuk Chafalef. Moves v'chayim biyad l'shoyin. Pasuk says death and life are in the hands of the tongue. V'yahavera those that love. Love to speak, love the tongue, Yoichal Pirya will eat its fruit. So we learned yesterday the Pshat, the Machlokes Rashi, the Mitzudos started with the idea that the Oyhavecha, those who love to speak, some use their tongue in a good way, which brings about life, and some use their tongue in a bad way, which brings death. So Yoichal Pirya will eat the product, the fruit of his labor, for good and for bad. And Ayhavera means those who love to speak. Rashi seems to learn Ayhavera to refer to only the positive. Those who speak and use the tongue, to love to use their tongue to speak words of Torah, tefillah, and good things. So that person will eat the fruit of reward in Oichal Schara Ba'olam Hazeh. Rashi learns that the fruit over here is a reference to, like we have the famous Mishnah, Elu Dvarim Shadam Ochel Perosein Boilam Hazeh, the Akerin Kayemes Lo Loilam Haba. Every time we have in Chazal Peros, it's a code for reward in this world. Because when we want to refer to reward in the next world, that is described as the Karen. Okay, so this was a similar interpretation. We quoted the Medrash, the Gemara Masechet Arachim, where the Gemara Masechet Arachim tells us that there are three psukim that describe the tongue. There's a pasuk that describes the tongue as an arrow, a chetz. There's the pasuk here that says it's chayim v'hamaves, and we have the third pasuk, that the pasuk in Tilm that says the koyach of the tongue can spread from shamayim v'aretz. And we learned yesterday each pasuk is coming to address a different lesson. The middle pasuk, the pasuk in Mishlei, the pasuk that says that it's called the chetz in Yirmiyah, chetz shachal l'shoinim, was describing the fact that the tongue can be lethal. The pasuk in Tehillim is telling us that the damage the tongue can cause can spread from Shamayim Varetz. And the pasuk here, pasuk Chafalef, is telling us that the koyach of dibur can kill the speaker himself, that he will suffer death, punishment for his harmful words. Okay, now a couple of other midrashim. There's a midrash that says that Targum Akilos, there was a person whose name was Akilos. He was a ger. It seems that all the people who were the major Targumim were gerim. Unkelus was a ger. And there was another Targum called Akilos. And he translated Moves v'chayim b'yad haloshan. He gave it a mashal to a utensil. L'mitztera mich'eirin. It's the name of a utensil which on one end has a blade, and the other end is a kaf, is a spoon. The spoon is used to eat, and the sakin is used to obviously to cut, to do harmful things. So he said the tongue is like a double-edged sword, which means on one end it's a kaf. So I'm not sure there's much greater significance in this medrash, but he compares this very specific utensil. Okay, there's a very beautiful medrash here. The medrash says. I'll read the entire medrash. Mi kasha hamake b'cheref oy hamake b'chetz. Which is worse? One who kills a person with a sword, or one who harms a person with an arrow? So the medrash says this is in the Tanchuma. The Medrash says, what is worse? A person who kills a person with a samaka, with a cheref, or with a sword. Hadi'omer hamaka b'cheitz is worse. The one that uses an arrow is worse. Shamaka b'cheref, einu yachol lames es chaver elo imkein kar be'etzlav nagabo. A sword can only harm someone that's nearby, but an arrow can kill someone that is at a distance. Okay, then the Gemara goes on to say, rei ma kosha, lashon har, ma kosha, Let's go take a look now at that part of the Mishnah Shu'ah. Let's just go further. Look at the chait of the power of Lashon Hara. It's worse than Shvichas Tamim, Gili Arayus, and Avodah Zarah. Here's the part of the Mishnah I wanted to focus on. We have here a Medrash. The Medrash says that Lashon Hara is more severe than the combination of these three. Shvichas Tamim, Gili Arayos, and Avodah Zarah. Why? So here we go. Shvichas Tamim, how does the Torah describe the severity of Shvichas Tamim? It says, who's the first one to murder? Cain. Cain killed Hevel. And how did Cain describe his sin? Godol Avoni Miniso. My sin is too great to bear. The word that Cain used to describe his sin was the word Godol. Okay, now let's go to the next sin, the sin of Gili Arayos. Yosef, who was the first one that had the Nisayon of Gili Arayos? Yosef, how did he describe his Nisayon? The Eich Eseh Horo'o HaGidoylo Hazos. Another word, Gidolo. So far we have Shvichas Tamim is Godol, and Gili Arayos, Yosef, Horo'o HaGidoylo. Third sin was Avodah Zarah. When Moshe Rabbeinu is mevakish rachem from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says to Hashem, Ono, choto ha'om hazeh, chato'o, gidola. Okay, so three different words all share the same shoresh, godol, but Shvichas Tamim is godol, Gili Arayos, gidola, ha'gidola, Hagidolah, and Avodah Zarah is Gidolah. What does it say about Lashon Hara? Yachres Hashem Sifsei, this is the first thing, Yachres Hashem Sifsei Chalokois, smooth lips, Lashon, a tongue, Midaberes Gidolos. Okay, so that's a very interesting marriage. The marriage takes the three Gimel Averis Chamuros and takes the Avera of Hamaves Vachayim Viyad HaLashon and it links it to a pasuk in Tehillim describing the severity of Lashon Hara and takes note that the term the Torah uses for Lashon Hara is greater, more intense than the word the Torah uses to describe the other three sins. There it's either Godol, HaGidolah, or Gidolah. And here it's in plural, midaberes gidolos. So here we learn hamavis v'achayim yad lashon, the severity. I thought it was a very interesting medrash to show the severity of how terrible lashon hara is. Okay, this we once discussed this medrash in a different context of Mida Keneged Mida. Just to review very quickly again, the Tanchuma says that Yosef Atzadik, he complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he complained to his father about his brothers with three major complaints. Number one, they are eating Eivor Min HaChai. Number two, they are being mezalzel in the Bino Shvachos. They're treating the children of the Shvachos like slaves. And number three, he accused them of looking at women. He accused them of not being nizer in shmirah senayim. These are the three things which Yosef complained to his father against his brothers, and because of that, midah keneged midah, all three things happened to him. He, because he said about his brothers that being mezalzel the bnei shvachos, they're treating them like slaves. They're not treating them with respect that they deserve. He was sold as a slave because he said that they're being nichshol in looking at the noshim, the women. He had the nisayon of Eishes Potiphar because he told his father that they are eating Eivor Min HaChai, sold him, they took his besonis pasim and they vayishchatu seirizim. They did not even kill an animal. They did a shchita. They did a ma'isa shchita. Not Eivor Min HaChai, even just to produce blood in order to dip the tunic in the blood in order to present it to his father. Okay. And there's another interesting little story here, another medrash, a little interesting medrash, the medrash Tehillim that talks about this Maisa Shai with Shlomo Hamet, all right, let's leave this out of the story. It's not really relative. Okay, let's just go further. Okay, let's go proceed to the next pasuk. Another very famous pasuk here in Mishlei the pasuk of Matzah Isha Matzah Toiv Vayofek Rotzoy Mehashem, a person who has the schus of marrying Matzah Isha, he finds a wife, a good woman. Matzah Toiv has found good, and through his Toiv Vayofek he extracts Rotzoin, goodwill may Hashem. Let's take a look at the Mesudas Pasuk, how he learns Pasuk. Matzah Toiv ki hi oizar toiv ba'amolo. A good wife, when a person finds a wife, Matzah Toiv, this he has found a good life, this wife will help him live success, have success in his lifetime. And the goodwill he has from Kadosh Baruch Hu is that having a wife, a person is guarded from hirhurim, he is guarded from being nichshol in arayos, and that will automatically result in having bracha from Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara talks about that a person has to be makir toiv to his wife for two basic reasons. Number one, the wife raises one's children. Most of the time a husband is out in the work field and the wife raises children. And number two, just the fact that he's married, that itself is a shmira from chet. So the Gemara says, even if a person does not get along with his wife, just for that alone, the two most basic things that a wife does for a person, generally speaking, these two things, that is enough for a person to have a great debt of gratitude to his wife. And in that respect, I mean, the pasuk here, at least according to the mitzvahs, refers to the second part of the pasuk. V'yev grat samei Hashem is that at least she saves him from chait. All right, let's see Rashi. Rashi says,
"Matz." Well, one thing was interesting, just nothing to do with that. It's just Vayofek. I mean, in the ksuba, I mean, the Tanakh, when you read it, it says there.
Very good.
And I just was wondering.
Matz isha matz tov
v'yev. All these years, but it says v'yofek. Vayofek is past tense.
Right.
Vayofek. Vayofek. So we quote the pasuk in the Tanoim. In the Tanoim. Vayofek. Vayofek rotsa mehashem. What do I have actually this pasuk? This whole pasuk must be the way it's.
The whole word for
so it must be. You have to read the way it's on the pasuk. Vayofek rotsa mehashem.
I'm just wondering because they have the dots, you know.
Oh, they put it in wrong.
Idiot's guy for rabbi.
Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Matzah Isha Matzah Toiv, Matzah Toiv. Rashi, Lishitasa, throughout Sefer Mishnah, does not learn that when it says an Isha, it does not only refer to a wife, it refers to the Koyach of Torah. Isha is a marshal for Torah. Matzah Torah, Uchamash, if a person has found Torah, so Matzah Tov, it's the ultimate bracha, and through learning Torah, Yafik Ratzam Yashem, he will extract, he will bring forth goodwill from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then Rashi says, Uchamash Moi, Yishuk Teva, you don't necessarily have to learn it that it means actually Torah could also mean an Isha Toiva. V'yofek Ratzon, V'yoytzi. V'yoytzi, it's in the present tense. V'yofek here means V'yoytzi, he will extract. Zeu Pshutai. He will extract goodwill from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a good relationship with an Isha who brings him Toiv. Dover Acher, Adam Shematza Isha, Umatza Tov, V'yofek Ritzoynoi, Oysoch Ish, Motzi Ratzon Me'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Yosef Karua. It was Karua, the name of one of the Rishayim, the commentators. And I'm not really sure what he means. Maybe you can help me with this. I had difficulty in preparing this. Adam Shematza Isha Umatza Tov. So he's saying over here that not that Matza Tov is a result. According to what we've learned until now is Matza Isha, he found a wife. And through finding an Isha, now comes a series of brachas. Number one is Matza Tov. And then after the Tov comes, V'yofek Ratzon Me'Hashem. But he's not saying that in the second parish. Adam Shematza Isha Umatza Tov. V'yofek Ritzoynoi, and he extracts his will. She brings forth Ritzoynoi. I don't know what this means. V'yofek Ritzoynoi also ho'ish motzi Ritzon me'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know what this means. Anyway, I do.
Interesting. It doesn't say the whole phrase the way it's written in the Chumash. I mean, in the Mishle.
Okay, let me go look.
Mishkach Yitzah to Pavasa, Mishkachu Mekabe Re'utse Min Eloah. So, you know, in other words.
That's the first interpretation.
In a way.
Okay, let me go take a look.
you are doing God's work. In other words, you're doing what God wants you to do.
Matzah pasach abezin in the mishkach itisot tavasa. The one who finds a good wife, mashkach umekabel ruusei min aloka. So he learns the word tava means it's two things. Matzah isha matzah. He found a good wife. Matzah isha. What kind of wife? There are different types of wives, as we're going to see soon from Kehelis. Umaitse anias ho isha. Mar mimaves. Right. So here, what it seems he's saying over here is umatza isha matza toiva means that he found a good wife. Matza toiva is referring to the wife, the good wife that he found, and then the mela after he found the good wife, then the yafegratzon me'asha. I think that's maybe what he means in Rashi. The Rashi's first pshat. Go back to Rashi's first pshat. The yafegratzon the yaitzi zepshu matza. Matza Torah u'machmashvay matza isha v'yafegratzon v'yotz v'yotzi zepshuta davracher adam shematza isha u'matza toiv v'yafeg ritzaynai also ho'ish motzi ratzon me'akadosh baruch hu. So v'yafeg is going on who v'yafeg, I think he's putting the period matza isha u'matza toiv v'yafeg ritzaynai period also ho'ish. That person is motzi ratzayin me'akadosh baruch hu.
See, the Eben Ezra makes an interesting
yeah.
He says shehi yivakesh liyosam eizik kenegdo vayimtza hu yimtza tov Hashem yamtziu tovaso bavur hadavko bama shegozer alav Hashem. You're accepting God's will because each woman, a wife, is destined. Your first wife is destined to be you, right?
Yeah.
So, if you find a wife, you are doing God's work. That's sort of like what Targum Mukhlis is saying in a way. You're accepting God's will. And that's why, that's the good part there.
Okay.
God forecasts you, and if you find that woman and you're willing to get married, then you're doing what God forecasts.
That's assuming that it's for sure.
Well, we're always by the first wife in. Mara said the first wife.
We all know there's another pasuk in Mishlei, the pasuk in Kohelis that says Umaitse ani esho isha mar mimavis. And we all know the famous Gemara, when a person married, when he got married, they would say to him the day after he got married, was it Motzah or was it Motze? They asked him the question. A shidduch is like a sealed envelope. You'll never know what you're getting until after you get married. No matter, well, you check all the references. That's what they say. They say someone told me that the mashkiach, he is Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. The mashkiach, I don't know who the mashkiach was there years ago. Told him this, that no matter what, a shidduch is basheret. No matter what you will hear, no matter how well you think you know the person when you date the person, when you get married, you will discover it's a whole different person. And that hashkocha, that bracha, is something that you need a lot of siyat and the shmaya. A shidduch is like a sealed envelope, and that's really what the Gemara alludes to. When the Gemara said that Eretz Yisrael b'marava, when the person got married, they would say to him on the next day, they would say to him, "Was it matzah?" Referring to this pasuk, "Matzah isha, matzah toiv." Did you find yourself a good wife? Or chas v'shalom, umotze ani es ho isha mar mimaves. So they asked him that question. Now, unfortunately, we ask now. First, what's the difference? Why is there a difference between matzah and umotze ani es ho isha? The difference is in the hey hayidia.
Right.
If you have a wife, that's ho isha. She thinks that she is it. With the hayidia, that is mar mimaves. But stam and isha, matzah isha, present. That's okay. Another difference is matzah is in the past tense. Matzah isha is I forgot how this goes. Umoitzani means I continue to find, which means that there's a change of personality. I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, but there are a lot of jokes, a lot of the yukim on the differences between these two. these two psukim. Okay, one Muslim what I once remember hearing is that when my Rava, when they asked him this question, they asked him, okay, so you could ask, why doesn't the person know in advance when he dated this woman before he decided to marry, what he's going to get? Is it going to be a Motsa Isha Motsa, or is it going to be a Motsa Nias Hoyisha Mami Mavis? So the answer the Bali Musa say is that a person's relationship with his wife depends upon him. You could have the same person, you could have one person, and if you treat that person well, they will reciprocate, it will be Matzah Isha Matzah Taif. If you treat the spouse, your spouse not well, then you will turn that person into Mar Mimavis. There's a famous story from Rav Pama. I told you this, I think, 2 weeks ago. A person went to Rav Pama, he complained bitterly that he has no Shalom Bayis, he wants a divorce, and he told Rav Pama, all his complaints about his wife, and Rav Pama said to him, if your wife is a witch, it's because you made her into a witch. You, the way you treat her, that's why she reciprocated, she treats you the way you describe, it's all you're doing. So the taina is not on the person. The person, when he gets married, is given raw material. It's what the person makes out of his relationship. So when the people, they challenge him, they say to him, was it Motza or was it Motze? They're not really asking about his wife. They're asking him, how are you doing? How are you doing? You got married. How are you coping? Are you coping? And the way, the litmus test to see the way you, how you are treating your spouse is the way, the reciprocation is, how is she treating you? If she's treating you well, that means you're doing good. If she's not treating you well, that means there's something wrong with you. The friends are not coming to ridicule him, to make mitzvahs with him. They're coming to give musa to him, the way he is dealing with the situation.
So that mirrors a little bit of what I was just reading quickly, what the Malbim says. It seems to me that the Malbim is saying that if, when you find the wife, you should look for the good in her.
Yeah.
Motze isha, motze tov, and then the yafik ratzon mi Hashem. That's what God wants. But we look for her. You know, will make you happy.
Okay.
V'nam yafik ratzon mitzad or isha shehi rotze bo.
Well, how you?
Happy.
Okay. On this note, there's a very part I'm very fond of. Oops. And it relates partially to this idea of matzah umotzi, depending on how the relationship of the further. We all know that in parshas, Chayesara is known as the parsha of shiduchim. And we know the first Rashi in the parasha of Yafes Sichas and Shal Avdei Avos Yosef Mitoras and Shal Banim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a love for the Sichah of the Avdei Avos Eliezer, the parasha of the Shaduchim, which repeated twice, whereas the parasha of many Gufei Torah only told us in the Derech Remes. So all the Farshis, why indeed? What is the Remes? Why indeed does the parasha have to be repeated in such detail two times? So there are many interpretations, many mahalachim. One mahalach I came across, which to me I found to be very enlightening, is the first time Eliezer, the Torah describes Eliezer looking for a shidduch was the way or the relationship that a person has towards his wife, towards seeking a wife. The second story is describing what we just mentioned in the Gemara, matza umotze, is describing a person's relationship after he gets married. What do I mean? When Eliezer seeks Rivka, when he goes out to seek Rivka, Avraham tells him, I'm going to send a malach lefonecha. Okay, let me read the words. Avraham says to Eliezer, Hashem will yishlach malachoy lefonecha. Will send forth malachoy lifonecha. The malach will go before you. Okay, that's one diak. Okay, there are many other diakim, but let's just focus on this diak. When Eliezer finds Rivka, and then he repeats the story to him, to Lavan and Bisuel, so he tells them, I'm not going to eat until I speak. Uh, Vayomer Eloi Hashem Asher Hisalachti Lefanov Yishlach Malachoi Itoch. Will send his malach together with you. How do we reconcile that difference? Okay, that's only one of many diyukim. I don't have all the things in front of me. I'm just trying to recall it from memory. Itoch. So I once heard from a darshan, he explained that the difference between the first telling of the story and the second is the first alludes to a man's attempt, his goal in finding and seeking a zivuk. When you go to seek a zivuk, you have no clue who you're supposed to marry. You need siyata deshmaya, Hashem has to go lifonecha, before you, in front of you. And all of the diyukim in the parsha, the first description of what happened is all alluding to the meramis and what a person has to do as he seeks, he attempts to find the zivuk. After Eliezer already found Rivka, and now he repeats the entire story, the Torah is being merames on all of the techniques a person needs to employ to succeed in a successful marriage. So here it's not the malach going in front of you. You don't need the malach already did its job. You already know who the person is. Now you need the malach together itoch. So you need, for the rest of the life, after the marriage, you need the malach to go together with you. Now you already have the spouse. Now you need the malach together to be with you. And furthermore, it says, v'hitzliach. That didn't say in the first rush. You have to have success in the marriage. So that's really what alludes over here, these two psukim, matzah and motze, in Eretz is so when a person, the Marav, again, when the son of the Gemara, Masech Levam, he had not so long ago on the Daf Yomi, the Marav, he nisa it inish, it's when a man married a woman, they said to him, Motza, O Motze. Again, the idea is, they're not trying to taunt him, so they're trying to taunt him, how is your marriage going? How is the success? Are you living through a successful marriage? Or are you living not through a successful marriage? Are you fulfilled what it says in the Pasuk by Eliezer? The Yitzliach Estarkecha. Are you successful in this matter? Okay, let's go to the next Pasuk. Okay, the next pasuk says Tachanunim Yidaber Rosh V'Osher Ya'ane Azos. Okay, famous pasuk Tachanunim, supplication. A poor man speaks to his friend with supplication, but an Osher, a rich man, speaks, answers with chutzpah, with azos. Let's first see the mitzvah pasuk of Gimel Tachanunim Im Ki Ha'ani Yidaber Devarim B'Tachanunim V'Hachna. Even though when the ani there's a discussion, a conversation between two people, and the ani speaks with humility and supplication, im kol zayoshiv lo lepama asher divrei azos, the rich man, when he talks back to the ani, he talks back with chutzpah. A very frightening description of a conversation between a poor man and a rich man. The poor man humbles himself, speaks politely, and yet the rich man talks back with chutzpah. That's perish of Rashi. Rashi, pasuk of Gimel, tachanun midaber rosh, derech, yeah.
We actually have to learn that the asher is directing his speech to the
ani. Well, that's how
he talks.
Okay, that's the way we. I think we commonly assume the pshat in the pasuk, because we always hear the expression "osher ya'ane azos." We always hear that. We hear that in the street, right? But the way the mitzudos, the juxtaposition of the mitzudos of putting these two psukim together is it's a conversation. The ani is speaking with humility and to the osher, and the osher responds, No good deed goes unpunished. You speak with humility, their cheretz, and the usher talks back to you with chutzpah. That's the way at least the mitzudos learns the pshat and the pasuk, because we have to take the pasuk in its entirety. You have a vav, a chibar. The usher ya'ana azus. Rashi, tachanunim yidaber rosh, derech zeh bekach, v'derech zeh bekach, l'midcha derech cheretz, we learn here derech cheretz, she'af ho'pi she'osher ya'ana azus, harosh yidaber tachanunim v'chein inyin harav l'talmid. Now it does not necessarily mean here, if you would not learn the end of the pasuk, you would assume that the two are two separate themes, exactly what you were saying, independent clauses. But the problem over here is, what does Rashi mean at the end of his parish? V'chein huyin l'harav l'talmud, the Rebbe to the student. It seems from the end over here that the Rebbe is talking, who's talking with tachanun, who's talking with chutzpah. It's a very frightening Rashi. It seems that the Rav, the master, is talking, if you want to follow the order, talks with tachanunim, talks to the Talmud with derech eretz, and the Talmud talks back to the Rebbe with chutzpah. Right? It should be the other way around. I mean, it should be either way, but you think the Rebbe, who's the one who's in the position of power, authority? It's the Rebbe. Who's the one that's the weaker hand? It's the Talmud. So you would think that the Talmud talks to the Rebbe with tachanunim, and the Rebbe talks back with chutzpah. So the Pasuk is telling you that don't worry, even though the Rebbe is talking with chutzpah, don't learn from the Rebbe, you should still talk with tachanunim. But Rashi does not say, v'cheinin ha-talmud l'raf. Rashi says Harav LeTalmud, which possibly can mean, it's not clear what it means in Rashi. The Rashi is saying is that sometimes a Rebbe, why is he called a Rebbe? Because he's a Talmud Chacham, he has achieved greatness. And the greatness of a Rebbe is he talks with derech eretz, he talks with humility. The Talmud, who has not yet perfected his midos, his unrefined, he talks to the Rebbe with chutzpah.
So and it's the usher?
What?
The Talmud is now becoming...
In this context, the Talmud is an unrefined person, and this is the Jewish, I don't know if this is Shan the Rashi, but the order of the Rashi seems to say that. I mean, you definitely see this to be true. I know that my grandfather was a Rebbe, was an RJJ, and I don't know the Yiddish expression. In Yiddish, there's a different expressions. He used to actually say this idea that he talks to the Talmidim. Do anyone know about in Yiddish? There's a way. There are different ways of addressing a person.
Ear
and do.
Ear and do.
Yes.
You say ear, you don't say ear.
So explain to me, what does it mean, ear?
European languages. You have the familiar and the.
So what's an endearing expression?
Ear.
And what's do?
You.
So my grandfather would say that he talks to the Talmidim, the ear. And they talk to him, do, with do. So that's exactly what it means here. If you want to take this Jewish, Imam said this. My mother used to tell me he said this. He says ear, and they say do. So what's the pshat? Exactly what it says here in this pasuk, that the ani talks with softly with tachanunim, and the usher, you go to him for a donation. Can you please help me? I'm poor. I don't have what to eat. And the usher says, "You're good for nothing. You should have get a job. Go do something with your life." So the usher answers back with azus, and the ani speaks with tachanunim. And then Rashi, v'cheinu in harav l'talmud, the rav talks with tachanunim. The rav talks to his talmid like they're his children. Ear, and the talmidim talk back to the rebbe. Do. That's seemingly what Rashi means to say. Now, you can argue, no, it doesn't. Rashi means just the opposite. Rashi means that the Talmidim talk to the Rebbe with Tachanunim, because they are subject to his grace, his goodwill, and the Rebbe to give Musa. The Gemara talks about the Rebbe Gamliel, he told he would throw soup on the Talmidim. When you want to go and train your Talmidim to behave themselves, you talk to them with chutzpah, to put them in their place. So you can learn this Rashi both ways. What?
Or an 18-inch ruler.
Okay. Today, that won't go off very well today. Okay, now there are a number of midrashim on this pasuk. Who is the Rosh and who is the Osher? First midrash, there are many midrashim that say the same thing, is we're comparing Moshe and Yehoshua. Moshe, when he spoke about going into Eretz Yisrael, he was mispalim with great intensity. V'eschanan el Hashem, v'eisa hilemar, Chazal of the Gematria, v'eschanan, tell you that he was mispalim continuously to have the merit of going into Eretz Yisrael. However, Yehoshua, I'll read you the entire Medrash Gemara in the Sechel Sanhedrin. Let me read the whole Gemara. It's fair shuma maidach sev tachanunim daber rosh v'osher ya'ane azois tachanunim daber rosh zem Moshe. Moshe that was not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael, and he was mispalel shemuchune rosh l'nitlan lichbosh kiim es Eretz Sichon v'oik. He was poor. He did not get any possession in Eretz Yisrael, only the land in Eivor Hayarden. The low es kol Eretz Yisrael be'ez shoha yitzarech levake yishrach mal Yisrael hayim dar b'losh and tachnunim. The osher ya'ane azu ze Yehoshua. Why is he called the Asher? Because he was the one that was Yoyresh Eretz Yisrael. And when he was Mispalel, he said, V'lu ho'alnu v'neshe v'ever hayardein. He said in Perek Zayin in Sefer Yehoshua, Halavai, which means Halavai, Shelo hayinu oiv mesayardein v'lo kiyamnu esmitz Hashem shomer lanu lavar. Yeshua said that because we have sinned, because of the circumstances, the difficulty in the Mulchama, v'lu ho'alnu v'neshev be'ever hayardin. had only been that we did not come here. We don't need this. Ma'alanu letzara hazos. The difficulty of conquering the land is so great, it would have been better off that we have not conquered, we have not been given this land and crossed over the Yarden, we remain on the other side of the Yarden. That's a tremendous slap in the face to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to talk like that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after he's been so kind to you and he's done all the miracles and given you Eretz Yisrael. How can Yeshua, who actually did possess the land, who was the Osher relative to Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with such chutzpah? And that's exactly what the Gemara comments. That is the mode that is Osher Ya'aneh Azais. Okay, now there's another medrash that says.
Did they say Aaron was the Osher because he got the Kahuna?
No, they didn't find the medrash referring to Aaron. The other medrash that talks about the Tachanunim, the Rosh, and the Osher refers to.
Just Moshe and.
Moshe, so besides Moshe and Yeshua. Refers to you're right. We'll find it over here. 1 second. Yeshaya. I just can't find it. Here it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is very bizarre. Davar Acher Tachanunim Yidah Berosh V'Osh Yanazus Amar B'Tanchuma. Tachanunim da berosh zem Moshe. Okay, that's so far the same. He was mispalel. The Oshir, and this is very bizarre. Watch out. The Oshir, the rich, Ya'ane Azois. This refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Oshir, and he spoke back to Moshe Rabbeinu with Azus, meaning, doesn't mean here chutzpah, like we commonly translate. It means here with Midas Hadin, Al Toisef Daber Eli. In Parshas for Eschanan El Hashem Bo Esahile Mor Eber Novi Erez Harizat Hazos Hashemiv Hayad Harizat Hivalvonon. And then how did Hashem respond? Al Toisef Daber Od Eli Badaver Hazeh. Don't you dare talk to me about this matter any further. That's not what you want to hear. That's a very, very strong, powerful, sharp response. And that Chazal say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Osher. The whole world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem owns the entire world. He spoke back to the Moshe Rabbeinu with strength, with power that Moshe Rabbeinu was not prepared for. Okay, there are other midrashim, but we'll leave it with that because I didn't prepare too many more things on this pasuk. I did write. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk, last pasuk of the perek. Pasuk says, pasuk of Dal, ish reyim lehis ro'eya. People have friends for the purpose of having friends. Why do you have friends? Because you want to have friends. It's very strange. We'll see in a moment the Mitzvah David. The yesh oyev, and there is a type of friend that's dovek me'och. There are types of friends that are better, you're more attached to than a brother. Let's see the Mitzvah David. Ish reyim, ho ish yehav es hareyim. A person loves friends. Laman yisro a'u imo. In order that he can be friendly with them, it means to rejoice, to be merry, to come close, the ischabu elav, and to become close. Why? Ki lipa'amim yimtsa oyev hadovek lohava. We find that a friend cleaves and is attached to his associate ba'ahavas nefesh, a true love, yoyse minu ach, more than a brother. Just because you have a brother doesn't necessarily mean you love them. You don't necessarily get along with a brother. You get it's a relationship out of convenience or out of circumstance. Your blood relatives, but a friend is someone who you choose. Well, therefore, yachboitz b'chibartam b'avur hatoyva habol lepa'amim. You want to associate with your friend due to the good that comes through association with your friend. Okay, Rashi, let's see Rashi.
Yesterday, something about the power of
brothers. Yes, we learned yesterday. Och nifsha mikiryas oz umidyonim kivriach armo. We learned yesterday this idea that a brother who separates from his source of strength is still better than a than a friend.
So it's laugh of the
shirt. Right, that was one interpretation. There's a different situation. That pasuk was discussing Rachman and someone did tzara. That was only one interpretation. There was the case with the person as a brother and Rachman and someone was a tzara. Who's going to come to the aid of a person at a time of tzara? The only ones that you can rely upon are your family. You can't rely upon your friends. Friends are only there in the good times. Friends are not necessarily there in the bad times. Relatives have no choice but to be at you, come to your aid even in the bad times. That was one interpretation of the pasuk, of many interpretations. And Och Nifsha Mikiryasov, Mikiryasos, a brother that separates from, or we learn Och Nifsha, a brother that separates himself from you because you don't get along, is still better. Mikiryasos is still better than a mighty stronghold, because a mighty strong fortress will not necessarily come to your aid at a time of tzara, but a brother, even an estranged brother, will always be there at the time of need. That was one. And then the pasuk concludes, umid yonim kivriach armon, and all of the petty quarrels that you had with your brother in the past will dissipate like a bar, like the lock on a door. You have to open up the lock in order to go in and out, and especially in a public place, every single day the door is going to be open. So just like the lock is open in order to allow the door to open, all of the petty quarrels you have with your family, they will dissipate at a time when you need them, in the time of tzara. That was one interpretation, but this pasuk is not a contradiction. This pasuk is just telling us another idea, that when things are good, who do you want to associate? When you want to go on vacation, who do you want to go on a vacation with? With your brother, or you want to go on a vacation with your neighbor, the one that you are your friends. You go with your friends.
Situation.
Every situation is different, so therefore it's not a contradiction.
Is a machlokas and gemara both in Gittin and Kedushin, the same thing about pidyon shvuyim, if you get sold into slavery.
Yeah.
What happens to the person that redeems you, if it's a relative or a friend,
yeah,
just a concerned citizen, do they have the right to, you, when they buy you out of your, they buy your freedom, you go back to work for them? You were a slave before, you were stolen from your slavery by your shagets. Now you go and this pidyon shvuyim. So what's better? Who has more zchus in the person that redeems him? Does he become your slave if you redeem him, since he was a slave before? So if one mandiyama says the family member, he did it because he's a relative, so he goes free. You know, I mean, he bought your freedom. He did it because of your family, you're a friend. We want to encourage friends. Family feel an obligation. Friends, not necessarily. So if he does it, we're going to spur his idealism to free you by letting him become your slave. But then Mandiyama says, a person who does it out of friendship is doing it for the greater good, because a relative feels he has to, so he resents it, so you're not going to want to do it, so we give him that carrot by saying he has to come and work for you. So, in other words, it's the same sort of idea, the difference between friendship and relative.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's both, you know,
okay, it goes.
There's two mandiyama that take both sides of the coin.
Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi in this pasuk says, "Ish reim lehisro eya adam shekayne leireim od yavayom sheitzdarch." A person that goes and acquires friends, and they will come when he'll need to come on to his friends. When the sheitzdarch lechem the yik revehu, and he'll bring them near on the day that he needs them. The entire mabakach yesh what mabakach. You'll say, why should I bother acquiring friends? The answer is because sometimes in this pasuk, like we said before, you'll need on a day of a tzara, you'll need your friends more than your brother. Yesh mabakach yesh oyev davek me'ach sheyikraveu yoytze mikreva v'yachah, because sometimes a friend is closer, will come to your aid more than a relative or a brother. So you never know when you'll need a person. A person always should use an opportunity to, every time he comes in contact with people, it's always an opportunity to make connections, to make connections, because you never know when you'll need to come on to these people, and these people can be aid to you when your brother relative cannot help you. Okay, that concludes this pasuk. Okay, let's now go to the next parak. Parak Yotes. Okay, I didn't really prepare very much, so we'll make a leaning on it. Make a leaning on it, just to do a few psukim. Toiv Rosh Holech Betuma Meikesh Sefasav. A Rosh, a poor person who goes in his innocence, is Meikesh Sefasav, who's still better than a person than who is crooked in his lips and is a foolish person. Now, what does that mean? Let's see. Mitzudas Pasuk Aleph Holech Besuma She'enem Mirme Befiv LeEsof Choyin VaHarehu VaHarehu BaAnof. He's not deceitful with his mouth to acquire money. VaHarehu BeEnof. Be'onyo, and he is in a state of poverty. So it's better for a person who is poor and is tumo, is sincere, than better me'ikesh, a person who is corrupt, mimi shehu ma'akesh b'sfasav, a person that's corrupt with his lips, l'ramos me'adam v'hu halo l'chsil yechashev, he will be considered to be a fool, ki lo yatzliach bo, he will not be successful in his attempt. So it's better to have poor friends. That's basically what it says. It's better to associate with the poor, people who are sincere, hoylech bisumo, who go in an innocent way, then have a relationship with people who are crooked, because these people will not succeed and will ultimately be viewed by society as foolish people. Okay, there is no Rashi. Let's see.
The Malma makes a very interesting, totally different explanation.
Yeah.
He says, "Im yesh reim l'sroa." If you have, you know, you make a lot of contacts and you have so many friends, you think, then you don't really have any friends.
Yeah.
When you cultivate a very close friend, im reim, ish reim, if you have a lot of friends, then you don't really have any really good friends. The yesh ohev, and singular, and if you have one good, really close friend, then he will be, you know, he'll come to your aid in a time of need. It's a very interesting take on the pasuk.
Wait, what do you mean? Say that again.
If you think you have, you know, you cultivate 20, 30 friends.
Yeah.
You don't really have any.
Too many.
Because you have a lot of friends.
You spread out too far. So, this goes back to pasuk of Dalit.
A really close relationship, you can't.
It's much better.
A close relationship with 20 different people.
You can't spread yourself out thin.
If you limit it to really close with one or two people.
Wait, so he's reading the pasuk of Dalit. You go back to pasuk of Dalit?
Yesh Reim Lehisroa.
That's the previous.
The previous pasuk. Ish Reim Lehisroa. So he's saying. So what is he saying? He's saying that it's no good or it's good.
Im yesh roim leisroa. If you have a lot of friends, it's no good.
Ah, so he's tashli with leisroa. It means it's evil. It's weak.
It's not good. Means
ra.
You really don't have any.
Because you're spreading yourself out too far. The second idea of yesh oyev davik miyach. If you have even one good friend, one oyev, that's better than a brother. That can be even closer than a brother. Okay. There's a
matter of semantics. We have a tendency to mix up and define two different words. Friend and acquaintance.
Okay. Reim ahuvim. Sameach tesamach. Reim ahuvim.
And you know when you find out who are your friends and acquaintances? When you make a chasana and you make up a list, should I invite him? He's a friend. Nah, he's just an acquaintance.
That's the litmus test. That's the litmus test. Okay, let's see over here. There's an interesting medrash. Okay, let me read you this medrash. The medrash says as follows. Call me Shailech Bisumo. Okay, let's just read this one medrash. Anyone that goes in his innocence in this world, anyone that is innocent, a person that goes, okay, to take on this pasuk, anyone that goes in this world, Bisumo, Holech Bisumo in this world, like who we're going to now discuss different people in Tanakh who were very sincere, pure, wholesome people. For example, so it says he's a tzaddik tamim. Who else we find? We find also Avraham, his halech lefanai veyesamim. And these two people were zoiched to Noach. Obviously, was saved from the Mabul, and Avram was saved. Baruch for saved from the four and the five kings. Baruch Avram lekelion konei shmaim v'aretz. And where do we find they? And his children also. Okay, we know that Avram's children inherited the land. Okay, another example. Yitzchak, v'chein b'Yitzchak. All right, he goes to different people. We'll leave with this. Okay, these are just this marriage coming to tell us that the subject of this pasuk are none other than Avraham, and Noach, upon whom the Pasuk explicitly says that they were wholesome. Pasuk base, Gambalei das nefesh loitoy v'otz b'raglaim choyte. A person that has no das is a nefesh loitoy v'otz, a person who runs b'raglaim, if you run too quickly, choyte, that leads to sin. Impetuousness leads to sin. Let's take a look at this Pasuk base, Gambalei das afilu ha'ivir aveira b'loy das v'kavana. A person that doesn't have era without kavana, mikol makom bevade loytoyva nafshay ki une latzadik kolaven loytoyva nafshay ki une latzadik kolaven. So what does this mean here? Even a person that doesn't have era without das and kavana, mikol makom bevadei, certainly loytoyva nafshay, it's not good for his neshama. It's not good for a tzaddik to do an avera. So the thing over here is that what the Mitzudas appears to be saying is even an avera that's done by accident without kavana is not a good sign for a person's neshama. This is not beneficial. One may argue that if I do an avera, avera depends upon a person's kavana. If I don't have kavana to do the avera, so it's like I did not do the avera. The pasuk is telling us that's not so. Just the action of doing the avera has some type of effect on the neshama, and it's not good. That's the first part of the pasuk. And the second part of the pasuk describes a person's midos, the otz, hamamah, biraglaim, leches, lemakam, asher, nos, libo, a person that just decides on a whim to go place, to go run here, go rear, he ne lachoite yechoshef. He will be considered a sinner. Ki meharoi lehispainain tchila pen yavoi mitzeh dover pesha. A person always has to consider the consequence of his actions. You also always have to be careful where you go. Not to act on impulse. A person has to be very careful what he does, where his feet take him. So let's get in the whole pasuk reads its entirety. Gambalei das nefesh lotov. Doing a very without das is an indication that the neshama is nefesh lotov, is not good for the neshama. The atz b'raglaim choite, person that is quick with his feet, is choyte, which leads to sin. Okay, let's see Rashi pasuk beis gambalei das nefesh loytoyv ein toyv al adam shehu shehu b'loy toira. Rashi teaches the word toyv is gambalei das nefesh loytoyv. That das here is a code for toira. A person that does not learn toira, it's not good for his neshama. And then when it says va'otz raglaim choyte ha choyte reifes v'dash havoynes ba'kavoy, he's focusing here on the v'moikev tishmuun. A person is nizra on the mitzvahs that he steps upon. V'omer kal hu ze ever alecha. It's a lightweight avera. It's no big deal. I can do it. I can talk during davening. I can do this. I can do that. What's the big deal? That is choyte. A person otz beraglaim, he steps upon lightweight mitzvos, is called a choyte. Rabbi say the parish who gambolei das. And then there's another parish. Rabbi say the parish who gambolei das. Abe koyfe es ishto l'tashmish hamita bal karcha. Okay, so this is an entirely different concept. A person forces his wife to do this act. That is loy toif. The otz beraglaim choyte zeha boil v'shoyne. A person that's boil v'shoyne repeats it. That's also an unhealthy thing to do. Tover acher, zemahalech al gabi asar and b'shabbos. This is a person that's running on grass on Shabbos because it's inevitably going to cause the grass to fall out. And even though it's not a melacha deraisa, it's a davar shein mischavein, it's still not proper to put yourself in a position where you're going to do an avera b'shegig. So sachat, even though it's shein mischavein, still you don't want to do an avera. It's a continuation. The previous thing you don't do avera, that is a davar shein mischavein. Okay, so you have over here the all different types of types of sins, and I guess it's really the play of utz raglayim loy choyte. It's play again. We mentioned before, b'choye akev tishmun. A person will be nizar in the mitzvos that people are dosh biakovav, that's trample upon. People consider them to be lightweight mitzvos. A person takes them seriously, does not trample upon them. That will be for a person a benefit in for his neshama. Okay, let's do a pasuk. Iveles adam tisalef darko v'al Hashem yizaf libo. Pasuk gimel mitzvus iveles ho iveles sha'adam oisei hi meikmas darko. The foolishness that a person does is from the crookedness of his way. Ki al yidei ivalto nichshal v'libo, through his foolishness nichshal, he stumbles v'libo loy kein yidma ki yizaf al Hashem, and then his heart does not understand what is happening. He gets angry at Kadosh Baruch Hu. Lahar acham idoysav, to complain against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So let's read the pasuk. Vivelis adam to salif akad. The foolishness of a person causes his way to become corrupt, and then when he's punished for his sins, he blames Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The truth is, he has no one to blame but himself for his suffering. The reason why he's suffering is because of punishment for his sins, and he doesn't realize what he's doing is wrong because he's a fool. He's a person we're calling Univellus, and that's why he goes, it's a vicious cycle. He then comes to do another sin, he comes to blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You blame Hashem. It's Hashem's fault. It's not Hashem's fault. It's your fault. You should have known better. But that's all part of the foolishness. Not realizing why the person is being punished. Let's see the Barashi. Yivelis Adam to Salif Darko about Voinoi Boloi Hora. Due to a person's sins, punishment comes upon him. Ki Bivaltoi. Due to his foolishness to Salif Darko, he goes off the Derech. He to Salif. What's a good title for to Salif to Akim? He makes Derech crooked. He goes in a crooked path. The Ovar Averos. He commits sins. And then what happens is Shemayim, they punish him, the Nithrami Menu, Uvivolo Hatsara. And then when he suffers, so who does he get angry at? He has really no one to get angry at other than himself. He brought this upon himself. But Zoyef Libay Allah Kadosh Baruch Hu Umimaher Achar Midas Hadin, he complains against Midas Hadin, Kigoin, for example, Ache Yosef Shaamru Mazos Osa Elokim Lanu. An amazing connection to this pasuk. The brothers of Yosef, who do they blame when they found themselves in the Tzara Abai, who they did not know was Yosef? They blamed the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When they found the money in their sacks, they complained, Ma osa, ma zois osa Elokim. What did Hashem bring upon us? What do you mean, what did Hashem bring upon us? What did you bring upon yourself? Why did you sell your brother Yosef and have all this whole sequence of events take place? And now you find yourself in this situation. You have no one to blame but yourself. And who are you blaming? You're blaming HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mamish, what it says over here in this pasuk, Yivelis.
That pasuk to mean that they were blaming God. They were just saying, this is our payback for what we did.
So in Echanami, that's one interpretation. Right. But over here, the Rashi is giving us a deeper insight with Mamish taking this pasuk and applying to them, Yivelis Adam to Salif Darko. The foolishness of man caused him to corrupt his way. They foolishly thought that Yosef was Chayiv Misa, was a Roidif, and they were Goyzer upon a Misa, and they sold him. And then a whole sequence of events came about for the next 22 years. And who do they blame? V'yal Hashem, Yizaf Libo. Hashem, it's you. You're the one. You're the troublemaker. You're the one that made the trouble. The truth is, they have no one to blame but themselves. Okay, we'll stop over here.
Isn't there any concept in Judaism that the righteous take suffering on themselves for the benefit of the cloth?
Yes, there is such a thing. There is such a thing. I don't know anything about that, though. I don't know what it means.